Good morning, everyone. Call the meeting to order for today, the 15th of March. And first item of business is approval of the minutes. Representative Beard, you want to move approval of the minutes?
Mr. Chair, I'll be happy to move them.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion prevails. Minutes are approved. Very good. We have before us House File 2852, which is my bill, so I'm going to turn things over to Representative Mason, and Representative Beard will join me, I do believe.
Representative Johnson, when you're ready.
Madam Chair, I'm ready to move my bill.
Please, and it's going to pass on to the Committee on Commerce and Labor.
That's correct. Well, I'm going to start off by explaining the bill briefly, give a little background about it, and then turn over to Representative Beard here, who will provide some illustrative comments about the district he represents, and I think we also have some testifiers. So let me just start off by saying what House File 2852 does. What it does is adds a brief paragraph to current cable franchise law. And in effect, it clarifies that a municipality can grant a franchise to a local phone company to provide cable service in the area or footprint in which the phone company currently provides service. Let me just say a few words about the background, because it can be a little bit complicated. Chapter 238, which is the cable communications statutes, is, in my opinion, outdated and needs to be revised to reflect the telecom world of today. This chapter 238 is largely based on legislation that was adopted in the late 70s and the 80s, when cable TV was a standalone business, much like in the same way as telephone was at that time. Now, however, we have converged and converted into the digital era. Both industries, telephone and cable, provide integrated broadband networks, and they both offer the triple play of voice, internet, and TV. The present and future is single companies providing all three digital communication services. In fact, the quadruple play of bundling wireless in addition to these three wireline services is already being offered in some markets. So what this bill does is represents a needed updating of Chapter 238 so that a telephone company can provide triple play wireline competition within its service area without having to build out the entire municipality of the incumbent cable provider. So it essentially removes a barrier to entry into the cable communications. And what we're talking about is moving from a legacy monopoly situation that stems from, you know, 20, 30 years ago, and becoming a more effectively competitive communication system that is part of the digital era that we currently live in. The benefits are obvious. For the more competition is advantageous for the consumer on a variety of levels, from service to prices and choice and so forth. And the second benefit I think that's worth noting is that it speeds up the deployment of broadband itself. And we know, listening to the discussion from other bills and the like, that broadband is a heck of an economic engine that we need to continue to push and deploy throughout the state. As I mentioned earlier, there is a situation, and this is in Prior Lake, that is illustrative of the need for this bill and the clarification it provides. Representative Beard is co-author on this bill, and he is going to say a few words.
Representative Beard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Chair Johnson, I appreciate the opportunity to co-sponsor this bill with you and to have a few words with the committee and in front of the witnesses here about the need to pass this legislation. Some of you members that have been with me on this committee now, like Representative Junkie, Representative Johnson, Representative Hoppe, and others, over these past 8 years already, will remember the exciting adventure we had in trying to do what I called blow up the monopoly by changing or deleting a small sentence in Chapter 238 of the Telecom Code, which it basically deals with incumbents and new entrants building the same exact plan. You know the fun and excitement we had trying to get that bill passed, and the political stripes and bruises that this author got in particular for trying to address that situation, which would enable new carriers to come into a market and compete with existing incumbent cable companies in particular. Along the way, it was suggested to me, because one of the problems we had was that service territories do not line up with city political boundaries, and that is a big problem for someone who already is an established business in an area, say like Briar Lake, that would like to establish video services as part of their competitive package of services, but because of the statute and the way it was written in Chapter 238, they cannot do that. They would have to actually cross service boundaries and transgress into another telephone carrier's protected territory to deliver video services. It was suggested to me that instead of just deleting the entire law, perhaps an intelligent and reasonable fix would be just to take care of the overlapping service territory problem. That is, in effect, what Chair Johnson's Bill 2852 does. It's a step back from the wholesale assault that I engaged in for the first 3 terms I was here to a modest, thoughtful, reasoned, incremental approach that I think we can all support, House File 2852. In the district that I represent, rapidly growing and, I'm told, the most populous district in the state at the moment, it's no wonder I'm so tired working down here, so I have nearly 60,000 folks in Shakopee and Prior Lake. And both cities are in the situation where their incumbent telephone carriers' service territories do not follow the political boundaries between the two cities or the townships, as you're going to hear in just a moment here. I hope in your packet you have the maps of the district I represent and the telephone service areas, because they're going to be a fascinating part of this discussion in just a moment here. The current law, in effect, there are cities that would like to have the existing carriers offer more broadband service, which lends itself to video competition, which is the crux of the problem here. But the law, the way it's written, as you will hear in a moment, has a very chilling effect on what happens. The city of Prior Lake, as you're going to hear shortly, and its incumbent telephone carrier, Integra, or Scott Rice, as we still call it out in the hinterlands, attempted to put video services to their service territory in Prior Lake, which immediately brought on a lawsuit. Lawsuits tend to have a chilling effect on other areas which would like to try the same thing. We're going to hear more about that again in just a moment. Also, the townships that surround the district that I represent are also in the service territory and also have the same incumbent cable company trying to reach areas for service where the cable company will not go down a township road. The telephone company is already there, and the telephone company is willing to provide the video services and has also been threatened, I'm told, with legal action if they attempt to do so. Chair Johnson's bill will take care of these issues going forward. We'll also hear about the lawsuit matter and how we're going to discuss that. But, Madam Chair, I think that I've set the table, given a description of the territory that I'm in, why I'm on this bill, and how much fun I'm having helping it along, and once again, I'll be happy to stand for questions when that time arrives, but I think, Chair Johnson, we have some witnesses that would like to speak.
Can we just go to the witnesses first?
Very good.
And first on the list, is that Frank Boyles?
Check a microphone.
If you would identify yourself, please.
Good morning. Continue. My name is Frank Boyles. I'm city manager of the city of Prior Lake. I have been in that capacity since March 1, 1993, 17 glorious years, seen an awful lot of development in the community of Prior Lake. Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to be able to testify on this important legislation this morning. First of all, I want to clarify, and I've done this through each of my comments, I'm not a Mediacom basher. I'm not trying to go after a particular cable company or a particular telephone company. My comments are the same regardless of who the actors are. Let me touch on just a couple of points for you because I know time is of the essence. Number one, why in the world would the city, would a city go about trying to issue a second franchise? It's a very arduous process. It's very complex. It's time-consuming, requires a great deal of staff time, and, oh, by the way, sometimes it can end up in court. And then secondly, what happens from a city perspective, more importantly from a consumer perspective, if the legislation, if the statutes remain as they are today, at least in my estimation? Well, why would we go about issuing a second franchise when, gee whiz, we already had a franchise for a cable service operator? Well, a funny thing about lack of competition, sometimes what happens is the customer service might lag just a tad. You wait 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes to have someone answer the phone, a real live person. Once they do respond, the service provider, the actual service repairman, may have some difficulty getting out there. The cost of service may be a little more than one might expect as well. The cost of service can escalate. There's no real block on it. Certainly the cities no longer regulate cable costs. That was long ago taken away on the federal level. Channel selection. When you want to watch that Big Ten network game, sometimes that channel just isn't available because there's been no impetus really to push that matter along. Signal quality can sometimes be difficult, and that really gets back to when you turn on the TV, is there going to be a signal there on that particular day, moment, and hour? And let's face it, a lot of us, maybe I'm just talking about myself, but a lot of us kind of program our life around what kind of sports we want to watch on a particular day. Well, there's little that the city of Prior Lake could do about those various items. And so what we elected to do was to try and engage cooperation in order to bring about competition. On a number of different occasions over a couple of year period, I had the opportunity to talk to Integra representatives, encouraging them to come forward and provide cable television for our community, something known as IPTV, Internet Protocol TV. Ultimately, Integra made a very important corporate decision and decided to do that. We went through the statutorily required process, conducted our public hearings following notice, negotiated the dickens out of the contract, oftentimes disagreed, and finally did agree on a franchise, which in our opinion is neither more burdensome, no less burdensome nor more favorable than that already in place. And so we should today, in about a month, April 1st was the day they were going to roll out the new service. There won't be any new service, at least in the immediate term, in the city of Prior Lake, because we are in the Court of Appeals, and therein lies the problem. Some people can interpret current statute to mean that the service area has to be identical from day one, and that's the interpretation that's been given, and there are a couple of other issues that are being addressed in the court process as well. Well, what does that mean for Prior Lake residents, and even more important, what does it mean for other residents of Minnesota who aren't going this direction, because their cities are on hold for good reason? Well, first, no competition obviously means they're probably paying more than they have to. Looking at the internet yesterday, a 2003 GAO study talked about basic service being $37 a month for those communities without competition and $31 a month with competition. Well, that makes a difference over time, especially as you add on other kinds of packages. The cable channel packages, that sort of thing, are probably not progressing in the fashion they could, especially if there were competition, if they're throwing the ball back and forth. Job growth from our perspective, Integra is a local company. We'd love to see them add some employees, hopefully from the city of Prior Lake, and be able to stimulate our economy. And while we're talking about job growth, let's also talk about economic development, because economic development is really based on effective broadband, effective ability to use the internet and the data transfer capabilities it has. And finally, there's about $100,000 that this lawsuit will ultimately cost customers who are Mediacom customers or Integra customers or just citizens of the city of Prior Lake. And it's a shame that that has to occur in lieu of being able to move forward and get all these benefits that we could have from competition. Now, is Prior Lake alone? Well, right now, in terms of this court case, we certainly are. But the fact of the matter is, I've talked to all seven of my contemporaries in the other Scott County communities, and four of seven of them are in the same position. They could benefit by competitive cable franchising. What are they doing? Well, they're sitting on their hands because they're risk-averse, and they want to kind of see what happens to Prior Lake first. I think that's another reason for moving forward with this legislation. Madam Chair, members of the committee, certainly on behalf of Prior Lake, we recommend that you give positive consideration to this legislation. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Can we go through all the testifiers and then take questions at the end? Next, Dave Kundi, it looks like. Again, if you'll identify yourself and then proceed.
Either one. Thank you and good morning. My name is Dave Kundi, and I'm the general manager of Scott Rice Telephone Company based in Prior Lake, Minnesota. Scott Rice is a subsidiary of Integra Telecom and has been providing local telephone service in the Prior Lake, Savage, Elko, Newmarket, and surrounding townships and communities for over 60 years. I'm here today to ask the legislature to make it clear that cities and other municipalities have discretion when it comes to establishing cable television franchise areas for telephone companies. They can decide to franchise an area that will be the whole city if they choose, or they can decide to franchise an area that is the same as the telephone company's service area. It's the city's choice. On this map, and you should have packets that reflect this, and I believe it's up on the screen as well. This map, the red line, indicates the boundaries of our telephone company service area. The colored blocks represent each of the cities and townships that our telephone service area touches. The red line depicts the boundaries of our service area as it was determined by the Public Utilities Commission. The boundaries were drawn decades ago, much prior to the development that has occurred as of late. This leaves a mismatch between our service territory and the municipal boundaries of the communities we serve. A few years ago, we had a discussion with Prior Lake City Manager Frank Boyles about the possibilities of providing competitive cable television services. We researched recent technological advances and found that cable television services, including high-definition television, can be effectively delivered over a 20 to 30 megabit high-speed internet connection. We subsequently responded to the city's public notices with a proposal to offer service to all residents in our service area in the city of Prior Lake. This is a map also in your packets of the city of Prior Lake. And you'll notice in the upper left-hand corner, I believe it shows as green, that's the Quest service area. So the northern and the western portions of the city of Prior Lake are served by Quest as a local telephone company. Integra, my company, serves the southern and the eastern portions, which I believe are shown in pink. Currently, the residents on the north side of the city, which is the green area, have triple play competition today. They can get that via Quest. Quest bundles together voice, data, and video. They can also get that through Mediacom. The residents on the southern portions of the city, shown in pink, don't have this choice. And I'm the telephone company that serves that area. So after a six-month process, Integra was finally awarded a cable franchise by the city of Prior Lake in June of last year. Following that, the incumbent monopoly cable provider, Mediacom, chose to sue the city of Prior Lake for awarding us a franchise. Now, it's our goal to provide triple play services to all the customers. Refer to that previous map, the colorful map, in all that area. So our customers in those other service areas and the townships that obviously that control are actively watching what happens with Prior Lake. We are here asking for a clarification to the statute to make it clear that local governments have the authority to award franchises to telephone companies to provide video services where networks already exist. Some examples of the customer benefits that would accrue to offering a competitive offering. Certainly the triple play competition where it doesn't exist today. In our case, we believe we provide quality service from a company that's been around for over 60 years. 24/7 customer service. Interestingly, we have over 700 customers that actually walk into our service office to pay their bill. Talk to us, grab a cup of coffee, chat, get a cookie. We have live customer care reps, no interactive voice response. They talk to somebody local in the local community. 100% digital transmission, 230 channels, 40-plus high definition, and the most important thing, minimal public right-of-way disruption. By utilizing the existing telephone facilities that we have in the ground already, we don't have to tear up streets and roads. So that's very important that we'll use existing infrastructure to provide this new service. Opponents of this legislation will likely argue that telephone companies should be required to extend network and overbuild cable companies and other telephone companies. However, it just isn't economically feasible for companies like mine to do so. To overbuild, both Quest and MediaCom and enter into direct competition with two or three other providers like that, especially if you count satellite providers, would be financially impossible for a company like Scott Rice. When you're the third or fourth provider to enter a video market, you can expect only 10 to 20% market share. We simply cannot create a positive business case that justifies investment in cable plant into other areas of the cities that we don't serve today. The majority of incumbent monopoly cable TV companies have been providing telephone service for many years in our community. The Minnesota Public Utilities Commission rules allow them to offer those phone services wherever they have network. There were no build-out requirements put on cable television companies to get into the telephone business. Therefore, cable TV companies have been able to offer triple play services and capabilities throughout their entire service area without having to build out. It seems only fair that telephone companies be permitted to do the same thing, provide additional competition. I'm not asking that the legislature force municipalities to grant franchises for telephone service territories, but rather we're asking only for a legislative affirmation that municipalities do have the discretion to do what's best for its residents. Without this clarification, it would be difficult for companies like mine to continue to expand, provide these services to the rest of our service territory. As the township board and city councils will face many of the same obstacles of legal interpretation. A great example of that is, we'll move to the screen right now, and in your packets as well. This is the map of the township of Credit River. Credit River Township sits right between Lakeville and Prior Lake. It's a more rural township. And in Credit River, interesting situation. We attended a public hearing 3 weeks ago and presented at that public hearing and said we would be willing to serve 85% of the township. Every place there's a green line showing on the map or in your packet, we would provide cable television service by the end of this year. Folks in Credit River and the township were very excited because you see every place there's a white area in that map, those people have no cable TV service today. There's thousands of homes with no cable television option. They can only get satellite service. MediaCom is the incumbent cable provider, and they do have a franchise. They serve the area that's shown in orange in the upper left-hand corner of the screen. MediaCom objected to Integra being offered a franchise because we would not commit to overbuild into the Frontier Service territory, which is on the far right-hand corner of the map, or far right-hand side of the map. Once again, I would be able to provide 85% of the residents, most of whom don't have any cable television choice, service by the end of 2010. But because there was an objection, the Township Council is very concerned. They don't want to get sued, and so we're in a bit of a stalemate there. So, in summary, I'd like to ask your support for this legislation for the following reasons. One, the opportunity to bring cable service to thousands of unserved households in rural townships whose only option today is satellite service. Two, broadband expansion. In order for me to deliver this cable television service, I have to have a 20 to 30 megabit high-speed broadband pipe to each house. That clearly goes towards the goal of expanding broadband service to lots of communities, especially in rural areas. Private investment in jobs. I'm talking about spending a couple million dollars and hiring people. I'll augment my force by at least 10%. And those are all good things in this day and time. Competition's good, whether it's price competition or service competition, all those things are important. A great example of how competition is out there and how there is customer demand for that competition is we have not announced to anybody that we're going to take this service forward. However, I have a waiting list back in our office of over 700 customers who've called in and are interested in getting the service from us. So it's obvious they're watching what's happening in the city council meetings. They're watching what's happening in the local newspapers, and it is very interesting to lots of customers. And last item is, as I mentioned before, minimal public right-of-way disruption. We don't have to tear up streets and roads to get this done. So I thank you for your consideration of this important legislation, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have, but we're going to do that at the end.
Thank you. Next, Mr. Young.
Thanks, Lee.
Rita, can you wait till the end? Thank you. For those that just joined us, we're taking questions after all the testifiers. Mr. Young, proceed, please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Randy Young. I'm with the Minnesota Telecom Alliance. We represent the mid-size and small independent telephone companies around the state, and we are in support of House File 2852 for a number of reasons. As Chairman Johnson had indicated, and others, both in the cable industry and in the telephone industry, and those are really misnomers today, we are both part of a communications industry, we're all offering the triple play in order to provide broadband in particular, but the other services we really need to be able to support a new infrastructure with all three services, voice, video, and data. As you're aware from earlier hearings this year and from the broadband task force report and the mapping study that was commissioned by this legislature last year, well over 94% of households in Minnesota have got broadband today. With our rural independent companies, that number is substantially higher than that. But we still have a remaining 2 or 3 or 4% of rural households that don't have access to broadband. In order for us to get that out, we need to be able to do the triple play in order to put the new infrastructure in that's needed to provide the bandwidths that are being asked for today. Those remaining percentages that we have in our rural areas are the most remote for our telephone companies. So obviously they're at the edges of a telephone company service area, which means those are the areas, the townships, that could very well be divided and be served by two different telephone companies, both serving half of a rural township. This will help those situations in allowing our rural telephone companies to be able to provide the triple play and to get broadband as well as video and voice, a higher voice quality, out to those far remote last 3 or 4% of our rural customers. For that reason, as well as in the metro areas, Mr. Cundy had indicated already, we think that this bill makes sense not only from the video perspective but also from the broadband perspective as well.
Thank you very much. Next, Mr. Groundhofer.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Tom Grundhofer, General Counsel with the League of Cities, and I'm here in order to speak in support of House File 2852, really for three reasons. First, cities have really always thought they had this authority, so for us this bill is really nothing more than what we think is clarification of existing law. We simply don't believe that the phrase more favorable or less burdensome necessarily means equal service territories or requires that. And second, well, you'll hear claims that there is effective competition out there. The reality is that very few of our communities have anything in the way of real cable television competition going on. We believe this bill will help encourage that competition and is really the only way our cities will see it. Finally, we believe this bill represents a reasonable accommodation because it explicitly would allow cities to require telephone companies to serve their entire customer base within their telephone service area, and it avoids, because of that, it avoids potential claims of redlining that we sometimes see in other sorts of legislation. And finally, Well, I know this committee is sometimes, and the legislature generally is sometimes hesitant to address issues in the context of where there's litigation already going on. We think this is a reasonable accommodation because we don't think it really is intended or will have the practical impact of undermining the existing litigation that will proceed as it is. With those, I will stand for questions.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mendoza.
Morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Tony Mendoza. I'm outside counsel to the Minnesota Cable Communications Association, which represents Minnesota's cable communications companies providing video, voice, and high-speed data services to about 900,000 Minnesota residents pursuant to municipal franchises in 600 Minnesota communities. The MCCA is concerned about House File 2852. The impetus for this bill arises out of a controversy between Integra Telecom, MCCA member Mediacom Communications, and the City of Prior Lake. The city granted a competitive franchise to Integra over the objections of Mediacom that it violated the state level playing field statute that this bill seeks to amend. Mediacom appealed the city's decision to grant the franchise to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. MCCA filed an amicus curiae, or friend of the court, brief to provide its perspective on the controversy. Oral arguments on this case are scheduled for March 24th, and a decision in the case is expected by June. Current law wisely delegates to local franchising authorities and courts responsibility for adjudicating disputes among competing cable providers. The existing level playing field statute requires local franchising authorities to weigh the benefits and burdens imposed on the incumbent and competitive providers relative to each other. If one provider has lighter burdens or heavier obligations than the other, the statute is violated. There is sound public policy behind this law to ensure that local governments are fulfilling their duty as impartial referees on a competitive level playing field. House File 2852 would take the whistle away from the ref with respect to disputes over service area boundaries by changing the rule book and categorically deciding these kinds of disputes in favor of telephone companies going forward. The Minnesota cable industry believes such a change in law would be inherently unfair and unnecessary. These types of disputes are best settled by local franchising authorities and, if necessary, on appeal to courts, where evidence and arguments from all parties can be carefully weighed to ensure that video providers are competing under fair rules applicable to everyone. You have heard Integra tell you that House File 2852 is necessary for a couple of reasons. First, Integra claims that cable companies are using the level playing field statute to shield them from competition in the marketplace. That assertion is simply not true, and there are more than 50 competitive franchises awarded throughout the state to local telephone companies to prove it. Second, Integra argues that House File 2852 is necessary to make it easier for, quote, new companies like Integra to enter the video market. This raises the important policy issue presented by this bill. Do we want to sacrifice fair competition for new competition? Current law requires cities to weigh the various factors, nuances, and trade-offs inherent in the competitive franchise proceedings to yield a result that best serves the long-term public interest. This is an important balancing process that the proposed bill would bypass. For example, in our brief to the Minnesota Court of Appeals in the City of Prior Lake case, MCCA pointed out that Integra is not necessarily a, quote, new player on the scene, though they do a good job of painting themselves as one. In Prior Lake, Integra used to be called Scott Rice Telephone Company, which enjoyed a state-protected telephone monopoly for 45 years. Integra still enjoys the benefits of that monopoly legacy in Prior Lake, having received $11.6 million in federal subsidies in the past 10 years. Mediacom has never received a penny in federal subsidies to provide any of these services. Should Integra's $11.6 million be weighed in determining whether build-out obligations under state law truly place the company at a competitive disadvantage? Other factors that a local franchising authority would weigh and that the proposed bill would ignore are population density and capital costs for the ability to build out. In the Prior Lake case, MCCA and Mediacom argued that the city simply failed to conduct this balancing analysis. The legislature should not blindly sacrifice fair competition for new competition. It should instead allow the appeal of the dispute in Prior Lake to take its course. The courts are best suited to the careful balancing analysis that the legislature wisely created in passing the existing level playing field statute. By inserting itself into these competitive disputes, the legislature would not only change the rules to favor one competitor in Prior Lake, but would permanently change the rules to favor one competitive sector of the industry over another. These kinds of questions should be decided by local franchising authorities and courts. The competition and ultimately the public interest are better served by preserving the existing law. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to testify in support of the bill? Is there anybody that would like to testify in opposition to the bill? Question from members, please. Representative Saylor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just had a question for General Manager Kundi. Well, I appreciate that you would be serving 85% of the residents. I'm just curious as to what your plans are for the other 15%.
Madam Chair and Representative, our intention would be to not serve the area that is indicated as the Frontier Service Territory. Those folks already have options with Frontier Service Company for triple play bundling today. Once again, this goes back to our ability to fund and construct a build-out into a territory that already has other competition.
Madam Chair, just to follow up. So just to be clear, then, everyone else in the white area or that in that other area, there aren't some certain roads that wouldn't be served. It would be all of the roads would be served in this area?
Madam Chair, Representative. That is correct. Every place that there is a green line on that map, you'll notice if you're looking at the yellow areas, those are county parks, so there is no service to be delivered there. But every place there's a green line, which is effectively every road on that map in our service territory, would get serviced by year-end 2010.
Okay. Representative Gardner.
Thank you. I'm not sure who might answer this question, but I'm just wondering if there are local cable companies that have an area as small as a telephone company like Integra, and if not, is there some sort of larger market regulation issue going on there that comes from old telephone antitrust statutes or something like that? I mean, why are the only cable company operators that we're talking about just really large? There isn't Southern Minnesota cable. I'm just trying to, when we usually talk about franchising, we've been thinking about large cable companies and large telephone companies. In this case, we're talking about a small local phone company. Are there any small local cable companies that want to operate phone service, for example?
Mr. Young.
Madam Chair, Representative Gardner, maybe I can shed a little light on that. Congress back in the 80s, I believe it was, when they set up the cable regulation at the federal level, understood that very small communities probably would not be able to attract a cable provider to come into that small town. As a result, they carved out an exemption, and for any community with over 2,500 households, I think it is, it may be residents, but I believe it's households, the telephone company could not be the cable provider in that town back under the 1980 cable statute. However, in those very small communities, they did allow the telephone company to also be the cable company because nobody else probably was going to come into that very small market. As a result, we do have some very small cable operators in the state. They tend to be, again, in communities under 2,500, and they tend to be the telephone company because nobody else came into that community. Subsequent to that, statutes have changed, and there's now, obviously, the ability for the larger telephone companies to provide the triple play and be able to provide video along with voice and data. But the reason you probably don't see many small cable companies outside of the telephone companies, those markets are very small, and there has been much more consolidation, I think, in the cable industry than there has been up until recently in the phone industry as well.
Representative.
So, as a follow-up, what is the what are the statutes or the regulatory structure dealing with the local phone companies that really have allowed the local phone companies to survive and thrive, such as Integra and the others? I'm just trying, you know, we're talking about communications companies now, and we're seeing the evolution of industries that are new and some that are very old during communications, and trying to have them sort of be parallel competitive, and I'm just trying to understand the context there.
Madam Chair, Representative Gardner, Minnesota is relatively unique in the number of independent telephone companies that we have. No one has been able to explain to me why almost a third of all the telephone companies, traditional telephone companies in the country, are in Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, three contiguous states. Most states have substantially fewer independent telephone companies than we have. A lot of that is due to consolidation in those states. We're beginning to see it here in Minnesota, and I think we'll see it continuing to move forward in the next 5 to 10 years. But we haven't seen as much consolidation. I think a lot of it is because a number of our telephone companies are co-ops. They tend to be obviously locally based, member owned. They're not interested in consolidation because of their geographic area. The other independents tend to be family-owned telephone companies that live and reside in their community. And as much as the profit motive is important to them, providing service in their communities are important to them too. So they've held on to their companies and their territories longer, I think, than in other parts of the country.
Representative Gardner.
I guess my observation, Madam Chair, is that like in a lot of industries, Minnesota has some sort of unique community-based orientation to some public services that other states do not. So,
Representative Depke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As a new legislator, I noted that this legislation is a result of a currently ongoing litigation. Is this and it benefits one particular company, but is this common? Do we do this? Do we get involved in legislating when there's ongoing litigation going on an issue?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Depke, I know it's not unheard of to move forward on this. I think in this particular case, it effect is a reasonable accommodation to what's going on in Prior Lake, and particularly the way the bill is written, it's more as much for future cases and prospective cases than anything else.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have one more question also. And do we have a feel what the likely outcome of this litigation is going to be, and if and will either party appeal?
Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, I had just a comment, a follow-on comment to Representative Johnson's comment. In this case, this is not two corporations suing each other. This is a company is suing a city that I represent. So it's a little different in that regard, in that they're creatures of the state. And I think that us having a say in how we move forward with other cities who may be subject to the same kind of lawsuit threat is certainly appropriate, and that's the thrust of the bill. And the second part of your question, perhaps I'll yield to Chair Johnson to speak.
Representative Johnson.
If you can remember.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And what was the second part of the question?
Representative Johnson, do we have a feel for the likely outcome of the current litigation, and is there a chance that either side will appeal the outcome? I know that's kind of putting you don't have a crystal ball, but do we have a feel for this?
Madam Chair, Representative Depke, no, I don't know what have a good guess on that. I know it's in the Court of Appeals currently, but I don't have a feel for what the outcome would be.
Representative Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And as well, you know, in looking at this bill, in reading the language in this original language in the statute, it's a limited situation where more favorable or less burdensome is a qualified issue. In other words, it says the area served, public education, access requirements, and franchise fees. It limits this, and it specifically says down in line 116 that nothing prevents a municipality from imposing additional terms and conditions on any additional franchises. So I think the original statute is really rather clear at giving the city that kind of authority. Nonetheless, if the second paragraph gives clarity to that and makes it a little bit more explicit, I think that is an important thing. The legislature created the statute, so I think the legislature also has a responsibility when you have a court situation to clarify the statute when possible to do it. That helps avoid those kinds of court cases, and I think that's what your legislation is attempting to do here. So I would support it.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Representative Johnson, any last comments?
Well, I think it's a reasonable accommodation in this particular bill to bring forward some more competition in the video market in particular. And with that, Madam Chair, I'd like to renew my motion to pass this bill and move it on to the Commerce and Labor Committee.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The motion passes, and it will be referred to the Committee on Commerce and Labor.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Can I add one question before we leave? There is a very good article in today's Star Tribune editorial section on broadband, so you might want to take advantage of that. Again, thank you, and we are adjourned.